boys, my heart is full. My host chair is full. Now let's go out there and broadcast.
Yeah! If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G. Ah!
Welcome to The Breakdown. I'm Chuck Pierce.
And I'm Portia Scott Griffin.
And on our panel today, we have Obama denier and author of the book, Well, I Never Met Him, Alan Jarvis, transracial fracking misunderstander, Sally Rosenberg, Wiccan priestess and director of the documentary I Hate the Troops, Imani Focolo, Ken Simpson, a Kentucky dog groomer who used a religious liberty law to refuse service to a gay dog, and Rex, a gay dog. Welcome to the program.
And now,
this is fun. It's a fun party. No question about it. This is a fun situation. Hey, you guys are here. The fun continues, nay, increases.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Thursday morning, the 30th of August.
Hey, guys.
Yes, we have time for the thing.
Okay.
All right. My bad.
I'm going to tell you something that's going to make you really happy, Kevin.
All right.
In fact, write this down for a future Kevin and Bean phone-in topic.
All right.
You took the wrong medicine at the wrong time.
Oh, no.
What did you take?
Okay. Here's the thing. I have a series of medicines that I have been taking for the past few months to regulate. And instead of taking something called Lexapro this morning, I took something called Klonopin this morning.
Ah.
Now, Klonopin is a sleep medication.
Oh.
Serious sleep side effects, yes.
Yes, it is. Remember when I told you that I was having, I don't know if this was on the air or not, remember when I told you I was having the awful, like, night terrors?
Yep.
You know, the screaming and the kicking and the thrashing and the terrible nightmares and everything like that?
Mm-hmm.
So my doctor gave me Klonopin, which has helped a lot. But what it doesn't do is
keep you awake.
Keep you alert. What it doesn't do is make you your sharpest. Because what you do, kids, is you take it, and then you go to bed, and then you get a good night's sleep.
Okay.
So I took that 45 minutes ago.
Oh, sweet Lord.
Exactly. So it has kicked in to full effect right now. And you heard the expression fighting the Ambien. This is the same thing.
Is it the same thing? Because when you fight the Ambien, you have it's like psychedelic almost.
Yes. Yes.
Wait, no.
Yes.
You're tripping bees right now?
I think you can say tripping
balls. I can say
balls.
So, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I got the swirlies. I got it all, man.
All right.
I got the dizzies. I got it all. And
let's change the schedule up so you have to lead everything.
Should I? I mean, look. You know, I'm a trooper, and I don't like to miss a show.
Mm-hmm.
But
Stay if that's your question.
I'm just worried that I may be more trouble than I'm worth today.
I would just like to say that I was gone for Scissor Bean, so I am so happy right now.
Scissor Bean was a joy.
You have any scissor left?
Yeah, you should try that. That might keep you awake.
It counteracts the Klonopin.
No, yeah. It doesn't at all.
It does. That's what I read in a place that time.
It just makes it worse. But I already feel like, you know how sometimes you're watching a show and it's somehow your transmission has gotten out of sync and the words don't match the sound?
Sure.
That's what it feels like as I'm speaking right now.
Monday and Tuesday.
That was,
yes. I feel like I'm saying things right now and they're coming out slowed down at a different time than my mouth is moving.
Yeah! Kids love it.
I don't know how it's going to go, but I do think it's an awesome phone topic because I'm sure it's happened to lots of people. It's easy to do.
Sure.
Especially, early in the morning, you are not paying as close attention as you should maybe to the labels. Maybe my solution should be not keep, all those bottles next to each other.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's what a lot of people do is they'll separate, morning time with other medicines that help you sleep.
Yeah.
See, I don't know anything about how other people do it because I don't go through their medicine cabinets, but do people usually keep different medicines in different rooms or something or different places?
Not different rooms, but I keep them separate in two different locations.
That's very smart.
Yeah.
I should have done that.
I just have I just have Advil.
Oh, you're missing out on all the good stuff.
I really am. Right? Can you imagine me on any sort of medication?
No. Yes. Well, if Dr. Drew weren't so stingy, maybe we'd all have better drugs.
Right?
God, what's the point of having a friend as a doctor?
Agreed.
All right, do we have time for the thing?
Yes. This is going to be a good day.
I love it so much.
This is. I think this is a really interesting story, and I can't remember the details, but last year we got into a conversation about calling people ma'am. Do you guys remember what it was? Did I call somebody ma'am, and she was upset that I called her ma'am because she felt she was too young?
I think a waitress or something.
It was a waitress. Yeah. It was a waitress. Yeah, don't call me ma'am. And I was just trying to be respectful, right? Mm-hmm. Well, there's a story in the news just like this where a 10-year-old boy in North Carolina was punished by his teacher that he referred to as ma'am.
Come on.
Punished?
I mean, he's 10 and she's his teacher. That's the definition of when somebody should be called ma'am.
Right? What?
Did you take the pill?
No.
Yeah, why would you play
it's sexy music?
Get it on.
For a 10-year-old?
Well, I always play it in an inappropriate time.
But for a little kid and a...
This one's real weird, Kevin. What's happening?
It's going to be a great day.
What? And it was so loud.
Yeah, it came on a little stronger.
Here's the news report. Let's see if we can figure out what's going on. Kevin, don't touch anything. Okay.
When 10-year-old Tamarion Wilson came home from school Tuesday afternoon, his mom noticed something off.
So I asked him what happened. He told me he got in trouble for saying yes, ma'am.
Confused by his response, Tamarion then pulled out this sheet of paper, where he was made to write the word ma'am 4 times per line on both sides.
Okay, so this is the thing like Bart Simpson has to do on the chalkboard, where you just have to be punished by writing a word over and over and over again. By the way, didn't say the F word, okay? Didn't say the N word. He called his teacher ma'am. And there's this picture in the article of this ma'am, 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 ma'am on both sides of the piece of paper, like they were punishing the little kid.
I thought it was like a sign of respect.
Yeah.
That's what I thought, and that's apparently what his parents taught him as well.
All because he referred to his teacher as such when she instructed him not to.
He had a look on his face of disappointment, shame.
Tamarion's parents, Teresa Wilson and MacArthur Bryant, explained he was recently hospitalized for hallucinations and memory issues.
Okay, this just got weird. Wait, and I also don't know what it has to do with it.
What?
Who was hospitalized?
The kid, the 10-year-old kid, was hospitalized with memory issues, and I don't know if they bring that up in this poorly reported television broadcast because they are trying to point out that the teacher had asked him not to call her ma'am before, but he still did, and they're wondering maybe if it's because he had memory issues. I would just think if you're 10 and you're living in North Carolina, it's just ingrained into you if you've got good parents. It's automatic that you call somebody ma'am.
Yeah, I would think so, too.
Now, is the problem, Allie, that some women feel like they're too young to be a ma'am? Like that they worry that it makes them feel old if somebody calls them ma'am?
Well, I'm sure that plays a part, but not with a 10-year-old child that you're teaching. Mm-hmm. That's just insane.
You know, when people call me sir, I'm like, don't call me sir.
Then you made the right sir four times per line. It's kind of the cousin to don't call me Mr. Baxter. That's my dad. You know, you've heard people say that before when they feel like you're the old guy now if they start calling you Mr. whatever.
Something the teacher did not know. Still, they say that's no excuse for how she handled the situation. When Wilson returned the signed punishment sheet to the principal, she included an extra piece of paper where Tamarion wrote down the definition of the word ma'am. Wilson adds the teacher told Tamarion during the encounter that if she had something, she would have thrown it at him.
I mean, okay.
This teacher escalated quickly. This is an even an issue of a normal situation. This teacher is off her rocker.
Yes. Why does this teacher hate Tamarion?
Gosh, I think she's just nuts.
During a meeting Wednesday between Teresa, the teacher, and principal, Teresa said the teacher acknowledged saying that, but added she was not serious. Following the meeting, she requested her son change classrooms, which the principal agreed to do.
All right, so the teacher is not being there's no penalty or punishment for the teacher at all.
They
just put the kid in a different school. But unless there's something more going on to this story, like they were mortal enemies prior to this ma'am incident.
It just sounded to me by that last little bit like they were joking back and forth and they had that kind of relationship, which this would make
I think the teacher was just trying to cover her ass by saying she was joking when she threatened to throw something at him. But how upset can you be by a 10-year-old calling you ma'am? These days, I would be delighted to see a kid with some manners, especially, again, I point out North Carolina, in the South, that is considered good manners.
I'm concerned that the school's reaction was, let's move him to a different teacher. Mm-hmm. Not, it's hey, odd. Let's figure out why this teacher
what about is this teacher?
Threatening students and then making them do assignments for being respectful.
Yes.
This exactly. is a problem.
I don't like it at all, you guys.
Way
I mean,
to
if
go,
I were
Bean.
Still, if I were still awake right now, I would tell you that I do not enjoy that teacher. I do not support what she did.
You all right?
I'm okay.
This is going to be a good show.
Good show.
Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean show, shall we?
Enrique, hello.
So dumb. We still on the phone. Still trying to get the Mexican president on the phone.
Dr. Drew's on the show because it's Thursday. We're going to do a phone topic. Should I sell it or just wait on it, Bean?
Which one are we doing?
The worst places you vomit.
Oh, no, that's a good one. People stick around for that. People expect that from the Kevin and Bean show. And by the way, who do you think in this room has the most examples of that happening?
Going to go Kevin.
It's possible.
Yeah.
That is possible. Get up on this with Jensen Karp.
Uh-huh.
I like that because he always introduces us to something cool, and none of us know what it is until we get on the air. It's
agreed.
Fun.
Mom makes $57,000 cuddling. Hmm. Only cuddling, you guys.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Okay.
Nothing more. People are dumb coming mm-hmm. up on the program today. And I don't know if you remember a story that I told about a year and a half ago. About a sickle and a penis and a neighbor.
I don't think you remember that story.
I don't either.
I don't think you remembered it that day.
Bean was on vacation and recently came across a bunch of Afro calls about that topic. People mm-hmm. were making fun of me or asking questions or whatever.
So apparently it is legendary, my boy.
It is.
And Bean has never heard it. So he's going to play some of those Afro calls and then we're going to replay that.
I can't wait.
It sounds like it's one of the greatest moments in Kevin and Bean show history.
It's too long to be a moment, but
oh, it's the longest moment with ever.
Yeah, it was crazy. And I think you're going to enjoy it. We'll take a break. We will come back with what's happening next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean show at 5:54.
You just keep going. I'm
how you doing, Bean?
you keep going. I'm gonna take this 30 seconds off.
Okay. Well, quick nap.
Yes, that's all. I'm okay. I'm just gonna close my eyes for a minute.
Okay.
He says, "Boop." 9:40. Hey, what's going on?
Exactly.
Time for what's happening. Here's Allie.
This whole Aretha Franklin funeral is. Unlike anything I've ever seen, I haven't seen people lining up to see somebody's body, and I haven't heard of them changing outfits.
I'm sorry?
And, yeah, well.
It's weird that we have two of these people waiting incredibly long lines to go buy a casket things happening at the exact same time, because the John McCain is, you know, lying in state in Arizona right now.
Right, but that's not an open casket.
No, it's not an open casket. But, I mean, there's a line as far as the eye can see of people waiting, just like in Detroit for Aretha. It's just so strange that these things are happening at the same time. Or does everything seem strange to me right
yeah.
now?
Yeah.
Probably everything seems a little strange. Right. But the fact that they're announcing that she'll have all different outfits on. So
yeah.
The first day she wore a red dress and a pair of $775 red patent leather Christian Louboutin heels. And then she'll have a few different changes during the viewing.
I didn't consider for one second there would be a change of clothing.
I didn't either. So Wednesday, she wore a powder blue dress and matching shoes. Tomorrow, she'll wear a gown.
She's not a Barbie doll. What's
That's
happening?
That's my point. I find this odd. And are people that went to Tuesday that saw the red outfit like, damn it, I wanted blue. Like, are they...
You think they're coming back?
They're coming back. They're getting back in line.
It's bizarre.
I just find it all very bizarre.
It is bizarre. Hey, I see that CNN and Fox are carrying portions of the ceremony. Is online the only way to watch the whole thing? As far as you know, Allie, in terms of what you've been seeing?
I haven't seen anything.
Because that's my Labor Day Friday right there. It's
most,
just
I was going to say, most of
hours.
Us are not looking for that.
Right.
Well, I want to see, you know, I want to see Bill
yeah,
Clinton's
Friday
speech
will be different with all the performers and the speakers, but
yeah.
I don't, are people watching the viewing? Like,
oh, no. I'm not talking about right
okay.
now. I'm talking about Friday. I'm talking about Friday. I haven't heard of anyone who's covering it, you know. Start to finish. It's just they're just going to be dipping in, and I just want to make sure I don't miss any of the good stuff. It's like the best concert
sorry,
of the year.
The good stuff?
Well, look at all the people who are performing, though.
Right.
It's going to be quite the show.
It'll be quite the show.
What's happening?
If only Aretha was there to see it.
Right?
Yeah. Okay. So I just
change of clothes. Yeah. Have you ever heard of that ever?
No,
I haven't. I haven't. I don't love it, you guys. I know it's not for me.
Right.
Not, you know, who cares?
I'm sure that was her wish, so.
I hope so.
Good on her. I hope so.
Really? I really hope so. What is happening in the valley? Just homes broken into left and right. This time, Christina Milian. Her home broken into for the second time in 4 days.
Second time in four days.
It's insane. So Friday, they made off with $100,000 worth of jewelry and watches. And then she was broken into on Tuesday. She's out of the country with her husband, but they just smashed into a side door just as they had on Friday. Did they not get the door fixed? Or
were they weird?
That door was easy?
What did they think they were coming back for?
Yeah, it's not like they replenished that time.
No, maybe they left a lot. They didn't have time and they left a lot of the loop.
Listen to you with your technical words.
I mean, maybe they saw a bunch more that they could come back and get. Yeah. I've never heard of this either.
It's very weird.
4 days.
But this is just the recent string. So we've got Christina Milian twice, Wiz Khalifa, Bella Thorne, and then John Mayer. What is happening?
They're targeting high-profile celebrities because they know they have a lot of money.
And they jewels. Know when they're out of town.
Yeah.
I guess the real question is, why wasn't this happening more frequently 10 years ago, 15 years ago, since the internet, I'm saying,
right.
Where everybody knows where everybody is all the time. I'm surprised it took so long for people to catch on to this.
So you're saying that you're upset that the thieves.
I'm not upset. I'm surprised.
Too slow to catch on to the idea.
I'm just surprised that this has really only become a thing in the last 3 years or so, because it does seem like you're advertising, hey, my house is empty, give it a shot.
Right? He wishes that robbers were hipsters, right? They'd been doing it a long time, and he's so over it now, right? Who's with me? Well, coming up, I'm going to tell you about Cardi B and how she is not going to return to the stage for anything less than, what's the amount? I'll tell you coming up. Remember when the supermodels would say, I'm not getting out of bed for less than however much?
10,000. But isn't this a little early for Cardi B in her career?
I would think it would be, but if people are willing to pay it, Plus, she's a new mom. Maybe that's part of it.
Maybe.
She doesn't want to leave culture Kiari Cephas' side. That's the baby's name.
Wow. Well done.
Thank you. Some birthdays for you. Guitarist for Panic at the Disco, Ryan Ross. We've got Andy Roddick, Lewis Black, Michael Chiklis, and Cameron Diaz. Happy birthday, and that's what's happening.
For folks who weren't with us at the beginning of the show, I accidentally took the sleepy medicine instead of the wakey medicine this morning. And Chucky writes in. He lets me know that he's not a doctor, but he says, trust him on this because it will work, that I should take another one of the sleepy pills because they will cancel each other out and I will feel better all over again.
That's science.
Mm. Does that make sense to you guys? Should I just follow that advice?
It doesn't, but I feel like maybe he is a doctor. He says he's not, but...
It's science.
Kevin writes in and says, being on drugs sounds eerily like Kevin. So those people who have trouble telling us apart are really going to have trouble telling us apart today. All right. We have talked about this from time to time on the Kevin and Bean Show. These professional cuddlers, you pay them money. We had a story. This was a big thing in New York City last year. Remember, we did a series of stories about that. You pay them money and you go and they hold you and it makes you feel better. And there are a lot of different people in this business, but there's one in the news right now that we saw in the Daily Mail, and it is unusual for a couple of reasons. And not only does she have a couple of reasons why she shouldn't be cuddling people, she's so hot. Mm-hmm. And look, attractive women can do any job they want. I don't want anyone to misunderstand what I'm saying here. I'm not saying she's so hot she shouldn't be able to do this if this is what she does. I'm saying, how does it not go wrong 98% of the time when she's cuddling dudes?
Because men.
That's what I'm saying.
Because men.
Because men.
Yeah.
Right.
She makes $57,000 a year just cuddling. Nothing else. Not a euphemism. This is not a sex thing. She's a married mother of three. Got a very supportive husband in this business. Let's hear a little bit from her. I think she's Australian, if I recall correctly.
Mm-hmm.
Let's hear what she has to say about it. And that's just not playing. Hang on. Am I playing the wrong? On drugs. On drugs.
Oh, no.
Hi, my name is Jessica O'Neill, and I am a massage and cuddle therapist.
For me, myself, I run three different types of cuddle therapy services. Every cuddle therapist will have a different style. The first session that you can do is a 1 hour long session, and we call it straight up hugs. This is for people who would just like to try the therapy. Maybe they're interested in what the benefits may be, or maybe you just want to be held.
Okay.
This seems sad to me.
Yeah.
Because you're going to a total stranger.
Mm-hmm. For intimacy.
Yes.
An hour of cuddling, by the way, seems like, look, I get the therapeutic benefit of a hug. It mm-hmm. feels good to be hugged.
What? From someone you know.
Yes, from someone you know. But 5 minutes in, how is it not just awkward?
Yeah, that's a long time.
Yeah.
It's a long 10 minutes, that's a half an hour.
Yeah, because even after like a hug with a friend for 3 seconds, you're like, you do a little tap on the back, like, we're done.
All right.
Let's move
on. Let's break this up.
Okay.
And I guess, I mean, you couldn't just lay there in silence, right? Unless you're weeping. That's the only.
Oh, no.
Wow. I mean, how do you make that so sad already?
No, but I'm saying what you're saying. If you're going for this, if you're paying money to have a stranger hug you, you've got to be sad, I would think, going in.
Yeah, I would think so, too.
And at some point, you start talking. And, of course, once you get into the therapy aspect of it, that starts to cost more.
Then the next level of cuddle therapy that I offer is cuddles and counseling. And this is where people want to work on a particular subject. So something that people might be going through that they really want help with and they really want to work through. We have a little bit of a chat and then we cuddle. And while we're cuddling, we work through more of the topic that the client wants to work through.
Now, do you think this is for people who are intimidated by the classic setup of a psychiatrist's office where they don't want to be the person laying on the couch or sitting in a chair in an office setting talking to somebody? Is it easier if you don't have to make eye contact, if you're cuddled up against each other, and it's almost like pillow talk? Do you think that's what they're going for here?
I think it's almost like a false sense of intimacy, so you let your guard down more with her.
Could be.
How would you feel, Kevin,
did you say that she was a therapist at the beginning or no?
Massage therapist. Is she also a counselor?
Like she does therapy. Yeah.
You know what? That's very interesting. It doesn't say that she is a certified therapist. Huh. Maybe she's just a good listener and has good advice. Or maybe she's just so hot people don't care what she says. I don't know. Now, Kevin, are you man enough that if your wife came to you and said, I am going to start offering cuddle therapy out of the house and I'm going to have people coming over, most of whom are going to be men?
Well, that wouldn't be weird.
I'm just going to lay down and cuddle with them all day, every day and get paid for it. Would you be cool with it?
No.
Her husband, Jason, 34, does not mind her profession at all, despite the fact that most of her clients are men. He's very supportive. He completely gets it. He loves what I do. He thinks it's really beautiful. He is also super affectionate, and he gives me cuddles at home. Our relationship is what makes me strong, she said.
I'd like to talk to him away from her.
You know what would be awesome? What if she's like, I don't bring my work home. Don't cuddle me, Jason. No.
Seriously, can I get off the clock? All right, a little bit more from our cuddle therapist in Australia.
Then I also provide cuddles and coffee. And this is more of a friendship-based session where I don't counsel you through anything. It's more of a sounding board for you. I don't try to fix anything. We just chat as friends.
This is the weirdest one of all because this is not her giving back and telling you how to fix what's on your mind, how to help you. She's just a sounding board. It's just if you want somebody to rant at while you sit there over a cup of coffee, this is because you don't have any friends. This one, right?
Yeah, I would think so, because she says now we're working into the friends. No, you're not.
Mm-mm.
That's odd.
And it's also kind of counter to what little I know about professional therapists is they don't ever want you to think of them as friends, right?
No.
I mean, that kind of is crossing a line a little bit.
That goes against everything.
Right, that's what I would think, too. All right, just a little bit more.
And then I hold you and cuddle you through all of the things that you're going through in just a friendship kind of way. So, for me, cuddle therapy is extraordinary because it brings about change really, really quickly, and it helps people to move through the negativity and into the positivity far faster than any therapy that I've ever experienced.
It brings something around really quickly, I'll tell you that.
I sort of have a boner.
She says, by the way, that she has had, quote, one or two awkward experiences, but insists that 99% of her clients are very well behaved.
All right, let me ask you a question about that. She's exaggerating, right?
99?
Has to be way less than 99%.
I mean,
that are behaving.
Yes,
yeah.
That are behaving.
Yeah. I mean, I
because we know people.
Yeah.
Right. I would think more than that would at least try to get a little handsy because of that intimacy that they've created in their mind that I'm laying down with this person and we're close. Yeah. You know? I don't like it, you guys.
I don't.
And I also love it. We're about to 25 minutes away or so from our friend Jensen Karp stopping by. He's going to turn us on to something new with Get Up On This. Also, Dr. Drew Pinsky on the program today. And emails are already coming in, Kevin, because we mentioned we're going to be talking about the worst places you've ever vomited.
Yeah.
Our listeners have a lot of experience on this particular topic.
Yep.
So all of that straight ahead this morning on K-Rock.
Right now it's time for People Are Dumb. The first one comes out of Milwaukee. A woman refused to pull over during a police chase because she thought the officials were members of the Illuminati.
Oh, wow.
Maybe they were.
During a bizarre traffic stop, the officer asked to see the woman's ID, and then she said, "You know what? Let me see your ID."
Ooh, that always goes well.
I don't think it does.
Which, by the way, police officers are always happy to show you.
I didn't finish that properly. You know what? Let me see your ID. How about that? When the police officer didn't show her the ID, she took off.
Oh, gosh.
So they started chasing her.
I'm on her side at this point, by the way. Apparently that police officer got some directive from, you know, Jay-Z and Beyonce or something. Something's going on here with the Illuminati.
Are they running the Illuminati?
Oh, sure.
Of course they are.
Yeah.
Come on, Kevin.
That's my bad. So she took off. They finally pulled her over, smashed the window so that they could handcuff her, and eventually got her to the ground. The woman ranted and spoke gibberish while accusing the police of being witches and warlocks working for the Illuminati.
Mm.
So now they're not part of the Illuminati, but they're witches and warlocks.
I didn't know. Is that like just Illuminati adjacent? Is it like you step up and then you're part of the Illuminati once you prove yourself as a witch or warlock?
You're a prospect first for a while, and then it depends on how you do.
I think it's like Scientology. I think you only know the pecking order once you're inside the organization. I think we're just speculating outside.
This one comes out of Southern California. Authorities say a man has been arrested in Southern California after deputies found 800 pounds of stolen lemons in his car.
It was, just for private use.
Riverside County Sheriff
loves iced tea.
Loves a lemon party, right?
But here's the funny thing.
.org.
Riverside County Sheriff's officials say that 69-year-old Dionacio Fierros was arrested Friday and booked on charges of theft of agriculture products. Here's the funny part. Deputies were investigating the recent farm thefts, and they pulled up to his car.
No!
Now, you would think it would be a lot of different people, whatever.
Just one dude. Yeah.
So this guy's like, all right, I need to do this investigation. He looks to his right, and there's a car full of lemons! Come on!
What did you say, 800 pounds?
Yes!
Jeez. Okay.
Is there a black market for lemons? Like, how do you even move that much stolen merchandise?
I don't know.
Yeah. And is there a shortage of lemons, so he was getting top dollar?
I don't know again.
Oh, we need a lemon authority.
I want to do a podcast with that dude.
I just find it so funny that the officer just literally looked and went, all right.
Yeah.
That's my investigation right there. Pull up, sir.
Take the rest of the day off.
Saved so much paperwork time.
Meth conviction reversed after expert witness confesses to smoking meth before the trial.
Oh, no.
So you know how they bring in a doctor or chemist or something like that? The felony drug conviction of a man arrested in Great Falls, Montana for processing meth was reversed Thursday after it was revealed the chemist, the prosecution's star witness who testified to convict him, was stealing meth from the Montana State Crime Lab that they had confiscated from this guy.
He had to test it to make sure it was really meth. That's the guy's job,
right?
Is to say, yes, it's meth.
Doing it.
The guy's in court, and the expert witness is stealing his meth so that he can convict him on meth possession.
Wow.
I think there's an out somewhere for this guy. I mean, how do you know it's meth unless you test it?
Yeah, he's a chemist. He needs to make sure.
That's what he does,
yeah.
Kevin.
But then he admitted to the court that he did it just before he was in court. So he literally took the meth and then went in court and testified really fast, I assume.
One to be extra sure.
Great. What a refreshes memory.
Yes.
And you know how it can be really difficult and really disappointing for people who are trying to have a kid and can't have a kid.
Yeah.
That's just, it's a bummer. And sometimes you have to go to a doctor and figure out what's going on. A Chinese married couple were desperately trying to conceive and were having no luck at all. The young couple went to see an obstetrician. After the woman failed to get pregnant, despite having sex on a regular basis, they were trying.
Yeah.
During their appointment, the woman admitted that sex was, quote, usually painful. Mm-hmm. So they performed an examination. The couple were very young. The man was 26. The woman was 24. Mm-hmm. Apparently, they were healthy. They were trying to have a baby. And on top of that, their family was all over them.
I'm sure.
Like, that's helpful. Yeah. Hey, thanks. We're trying.
Right.
The results were unexpected. The doctor discovered that the couple had mistakenly been having...
No! No! No!
For 4 years. Trying to conceive.
Well, I feel like it should be less painful after 4 years, first of all, in the butt. But my God, no!
4 years of marriage. And they were like, look, I know it hurts, but we got to do it again.
Do you think he knew the whole time? He knew.
He's telling his friends, check this out. My wife still believes it. It's been 3 years. She still believes it.
I so want to believe this story.
It can't be real.
It can't be. This one can't be real because, I'm sorry, there are plenty of representations in the world, even in China, of the vagina.
Okay? Now let me just say this.
Yeah.
Out of the, what are there, 7 billion people?
Right.
Uh-huh. You think it's not possible that one couple might misunderstand that? And you don't talk about it with other people or anything.
Right, it's very private.
So they just, that's their
You thing. Think it's going in somewhere. It must be right.
I mean,
oh.
I guess it's possible, but...
I want it to be
I
real.
I do, too. The doctor gave the couple a sex education handbook, and within a month, she was pregnant.
Come on!
And that's People Are Dumb.
What about the butt?
Right?
Mm.
It's a good question. Hey, we're going to revisit the famous India threesome penis sickle story coming up in a few minutes from about a year and a half ago. Donna writes in Pasadena, Dear Kevin and Bean, I am so excited to relive story time with Kevin Ryder. It's one of my favorite segments with Kevin ever. Keep up the good work. I have so much joy.
I mean, I don't want to oversell it,
and anticipation.
You can't.
I can't wait to hear it.
Oh, it's so good.
So that's coming up, plus Jensen Karp's Get Up on This in the next half hour on K-Rock. Allie's here. Time for another look at what's happening here on a Thursday.
Well, this was unexpected news yesterday. Top Gun, originally supposed to be out July 2019, has been pushed back to June 2020.
Wow. Why?
Wow.
Almost
I thought they were well along with filming this. It was going well.
Aren't some of those actors going to be dead by then?
How dare you?
I mean, Tom Cruise is almost 70, right?
Well, what they're saying is extensive visual effects work and some very complicated flight scenes are said to be at the heart of the production extension.
I'm sorry.
They're not going to capture the real movie essence, though, because there was none of that mattered at all in that first
movie. At all, no.
I saw Dunkirk. You don't need to do anything more complicated than that movie did with air fights, okay? With travel.
Right, but maybe it took them longer.
Yeah.
And Top Gun didn't expect that it would take this long. I don't know.
It just seems odd to me.
Just a year so Tom Cruise can learn to fly an actual jet fighter.
Do you think that's probably it?
He's actually going to enlist in the Navy.
Yep.
And he's going to go through officer's candidate school so that he is well prepared for the role.
I mean, he probably would if he could, right?
Yeah, of course.
Be honest.
Folks who don't know what we're talking about,
He accelerated the classes?
Yes, thank you. Drugs, guys. To learn how to fly a helicopter for the last Mission Impossible movie. So he'll just do everything he can to be prepared. But I bet that movie's going to be good.
I think so, too. But we'll find out June 2020. It's a long way away.
It is a long way.
Well, Cardi B isn't leaving her baby side, that baby being Culture Kiari Cephas, unless people want to pay her upwards of $300,000 to perform.
No.
Yeah. She also says she doesn't want to go too far from home. So if there's just any local shows around that want to pay her that much.
That's weird.
She reportedly was getting $100,000 per show at Coachella. Remember that when she was pregnant?
Right.
And her star has been rising since then. So could she make that money? I don't know. But that
seems... It's that money and it has to be close enough.
Right.
Where does she live? Do you know?
I don't know.
United States?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
For sure.
Yeah, huh. I'm not sure where she's based either. That's, what's the baby's name again?
Culture Chiari Cephas.
Okay. That's the best part of that story.
I agree.
You know, I've been reading a lot and thinking a lot about Aretha Franklin lately, mm-hmm. and she had a similar policy where she would not fly. She got to a point where she was just afraid to fly, and she wouldn't fly, so she couldn't do most concerts that she was offered, none around the world. But she had a kid with her her boyfriend, Ken, and they named the baby Kekalf.
What?
I'm sorry?
K-E-C-A-L-F. The husband's name or boyfriend's name was Ken Cunningham. So his initials were K-E-C. Her initials were A-L-F, Aretha Louise Franklin. So the kid's name was a combination of each of their initials.
Yeah, that...
Dumb.
That's not a great name.
It's not a great name.
It sounds like something that happens when you... It's like acid reflux.
Yeah, you need to... You need to get seen for it, I think.
Now, I'm not sure how you would even pronounce K-E-C-A-L-F, but Kekalf is what I said.
Yeah.
And but it's an ugly name, right?
I hope they call him, like, Kiki. Or Alf.
Or something.
Right,
what?
Kevin? Do it.
Come on.
A little bit.
No problem.
Yeah! Oh, the joy it brings. The joy. Well, just 2 days after it was announced that Alec Baldwin would be playing Batman's father, Thomas Wayne, in Joaquin Phoenix's upcoming Joker movie, he's revealed that he's exited the project. I'm no longer doing that movie. I'm sure there are 25 guys who can play that part. Baldwin also cited scheduling issues. So that, again, what is happening?
Yeah.
People?
That's weird.
It's all very weird. It's all very weird. Something that I don't think we need at all. DJ Khaled, he's launching his new luxury furniture line today. It's called We the Best Home. We the Best Home.
Am I the only one that he just rubs the wrong way?
He's so annoying.
Oh, he's annoying.
I don't know.
It's all hype and
he
no talent.
He just yells his name and yells We the Best. Well, he said the line is an extension of me. I'm involved in every aspect of the creative design process, choosing colors, fabric, styles. So I give my fans a piece of Khaled in every item. Well, that just sounds gross. That sounds disgusting.
Finally, there's a way to buy furniture, though.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, couches didn't exist before this.
I've had so many empty rooms. I'm so glad he came along.
Very true. And I'm really sorry for Mr. Robot fans because USA is going to wrap up its hacker drama, Mr. Robot, after its upcoming fourth season.
I love that show so much.
Yeah. The fourth season will air sometime in 2019, but
that'll be it. See you later.
Bye-bye. 2019? I think the last season was last year.
It feels like a long time ago, right?
Yeah.
So what do you think about this? Michael Jackson's Thriller is coming to IMAX 3D for 1 week. The video for Thriller. IMAX announced it yesterday, which would have been Jackson's 60th birthday. They're partnering with his estate to digitally remaster the Thriller short and release it in IMAX 3D for the first time ever.
What are they showing it with? No one's going to drive down to an IMAX for a 15-minute movie.
Glad you asked. The showings will run for 1 week, starting September 21st. The only catch, you have to see it ahead of Eli Roth's The House with a Clock in Its Walls movie.
Oh.
So, I mean, if you love Eli Roth, that's just an added bonus.
Right.
Uh-huh.
If not, okay.
It is going to be weird to be sitting there and watching the Thriller video, which we've all seen 100 times.
Right. But have you seen it in IMAX 3D?
I mean, no.
Right?
I mean, it makes sense as a Halloween double feature, sure.
In September. Sure. But can I tell you why I wanted to do this story?
Yeah.
Because of the first line of it.
Okay.
The Eagles recently passed Michael Jackson's Thriller on the list of best-selling U.S. albums ever, but the King of Pop will get the last laugh. Is this a sick burn that Thriller is going to be in IMAX 3D for a week before an Eli Roth movie?
It's really
not. It's the dumbest opening line I've ever read.
They kind of oversold their drop the mic moment.
He'll get the last laugh. Ha ha ha. So dumb.
This is it. I mean, this is really it. This is the final curtain call. And when I say this is it, it really means this is it.
I mean, he was nothing if not truthful right there.
He is a solid, solid person.
Debatable.
Some the most famous person that has ever come out of the state of Wyoming.
I believe, just like Bert Kreischer, Michael Jackson is
that's
not
a callback to Bean asking Bert Kreischer that. And he's like, I've never been to Wyoming or Montana or wherever.
Oh, God bless you. Some birthdays for you. Andy Roddick, Ryan Ross from Panic at the Disco, Lewis Black, Michael Chiklis, and Cameron Diaz. And that's what's happening. Oh! I apologize.
Yes. We can't wait forever, Allie.
Really.
Yeah. And a happy belated birthday to our phone op, Ruben.
That was worth it.
Don't forget more Six Flags Magic Mountain passes for you coming up this hour on the Kevin and Bean Show, next hour as well, and on the 9 o'clock hour. We are handing them out. You can go to KROQ.com for another chance to win. Got them for you all week here on KROQ. Hey, look who's here. It's time for Get Up On This.
Get up. Get on up.
On this.
Get up.
Hello, everybody.
Jensen, how are
you? Well, how are you?
Very good, thank you.
You had somebody follow you in when you opened the door to come into the building.
I did?
I just wanted to warn you. Oh. There's a dude standing behind you.
Oh, well, this week's Get Up On This brings a guest into the studio as well.
Oh,
all right. Very excited to do. Let me introduce what the Get Up On is, and then he'll just jump in.
Okay.
I am someone who, when Kevin and Bean's out on the air, is looking for podcasts.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's what I do. It's 2018. Podcasts are very important.
By the way, Jensen also does Get Up On This podcast, which is fantastic.
That's right.
All right, go ahead.
When I'm not listening to Kevin Bean or my own podcast, like a real egomaniac, I find myself just sort of hungry for good podcasts.
Okay.
By the way, I'm 100% with you.
Great.
It's like sitting down. It's like the equivalent of everybody else who sits down and just starts scrolling through Netflix looking for that thing they've heard about or that thing that looks good.
Yeah. And so I am Allie's figuring out either what it is.
Oh, my God.
What? Do you listen to it?
If it's who I think he is.
The podcast is called Punch Up the Jam. It is on the HeadGum Network.
This is sad now.
Well, not necessarily.
I was so excited.
But I want to hear more.
Wait, so Allie just thought it was someone, stood up, pointed, moved her feet back and forth in sort of an excited.
Yeah.
Then said, nah, never mind.
Yeah, if that it's just
not
happened.
If it's not a murder podcast, Allie hasn't heard it.
No, yeah. I literally thought he was one of the guys that does the Gilmore Girls one.
It is.
You know what's so funny is from your excitement, I was like, oh, she has me mistaken for someone else.
Oh, no.
Yeah, he was one half of the Gilmore Guys podcast, which was incredibly popular to a point where they like traveled around the world doing shows.
Incredibly so.
Yeah, and so now his new podcast, which now has about 40 episodes up, is called Punch Up the Jam. It's on HeadGum, and here's what it's all about, and all of us can understand this. There are so many beloved songs in this world.
Right.
So many things that we're supposed to just absolutely accept. Demi and his co-host Miel Bredo have decided that's not the truth. There are songs that deserve to be fixed. They sit down, listen to a song, a classic, and say, you know what? This isn't perfect, but we can make it perfect.
Oh, no.
We have such egos.
That's awesome.
So, Demi, what kinds of songs do you make better?
Well, we generally choose from songs that we want. We want every song to be something that people have at least heard of before, or a song that you maybe have heard just in your orbit. We've done, like you said, about 40 episodes. They've all been pretty much like hits.
Like some of my favorites, they did L.A. Women. They did that. They brought in Paul F. Tompkins, one of my favorite comedians. They sat down, talked about what is garbage in the song and what is tremendous. But then Demi and Miel make the song better.
Wow.
And it's very good. Musically, he's really incredible. He was big on Twitter a lot for sort of making satirical parodies of rap songs and regular songs and stuff like that. So now he has sort of an outlet to go out there and make these songs better.
All right. Do you have anything that we can hear?
We do. We're going to start with Welcome to the Jungle.
Hold on just for a second.
Oh, yes.
Sorry, we have to restart our equipment because it's bad.
Oh, yeah. So
sorry.
Things are going well.
You guys,
here.
I think terrestrial radio is something to get up on.
Absolutely.
Like, I think we're early on it. I think it's just building now.
It's kicking off.
Jetson, we're moving out of this building in a few weeks, as you know.
Yes.
And literally the DJs in this room are the only people who show up to this location anymore. So all the equipment is just failing, and we don't even have IT or engineering to fix anything. They're
it's
just
failing
letting
and no one cares.
But I have a question, and I'm serious here.
Okay.
Are you sure it's plugged in? Like, are we all heard by
yes.
people?
Okay.
That
yes.
I don't know for sure.
I don't
it's
know for
just,
sure. Who knows?
It really is. It's just failing.
Yeah.
All right. Are we back up?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. What's
so
the clip?
This first one is from an episode they did for Welcome to the Jungle, and I'll let him explain how they fixed it.
So basically, when we started listening to this song, my co-host Miel decided that it was a song about puberty and that the jungle was pubic hair, and I just kind of ran with that. And we wrote the song as if it were a musical number in a musical entirely about puberty.
And this is the clip.
Welcome to the jungle. We're the hormone gang. Carry sexy messages between your ovaries and your brain. And I'm the only one that knows exactly what you need.
I need to get out of here.
Sure you do, but you won't till you're 15. In the jungle. Look into the jungle. It's right there between your... Just wait, kid. Once a month, that thing will bleed.
Welcome to the jungle. I'm the acne on your face. You can try to get rid of me if you want, but I pop up all over the place.
I hear your body breasts.
You are?
Look, kid, you're still growing in size.
What's that smell?
That's you.
Me? You.
And the B-E-R-T-Y. In the jungle. Welcome to the jungle. Keep you humble.
That's his Welcome to the Jungle.
I mean, wow.
That is better.
And so for like an hour before that, they talked about the changes.
I'm sorry. So I thought that you were talking about actually they were going to redo the music and it was a serious thing. I had no idea that it could be that funny.
No. We do, we realize that a lot of these songs, they lyrically sort of are nonsensical if you try to pick them apart in a serious
right.
way. So we take that and we discuss it and say, like, why are these lyrics what they are? But then we sort of are like,
I gotcha.
We can't really rewrite it and make it
that's
better.
Awesome.
So we make it our own thing.
That's awesome.
And it goes off into rants like that. And from those points, they create songs anew.
Yeah.
The second one we want to play is 1 week. So we'll let him explain why.
So for this one, we were trying to track the events of what happens in the Bare Naked Ladies song 1 week. And
very confusing.
Very confusing. It's very hard to do. And once you do it, you sort of realize that there's something sinister going on.
Oh.
So Miel, actually the origin of this one, originally for my birthday a few years ago, Miel threw me a surprise party that was a funeral. And she turned this song into a funeral dirge for my party. And we sort of repurposed it for this because it's a very dark song when you take a look at the lyrics. And it seems like there's a murder going on.
This is that clip.
It's been 1 week since you looked at me. Cocked your head aside and said I'm angry. 5 days since you laughed at me, saying get back together, come back and see me. 3 days since the living room, I realize it's all my fault but couldn't tell you. Yesterday you'd have forgiven me, but it'll still be 2 days till I say I'm sorry. Hold it now, watch the hood wink as I make you stop, think. You think you're looking at Aquaman, slamming fish to the dish, although I like the chalet Swiss, I like the sushi, cause it's never touched a frying pan, hot like wasabi.
Whole new definition.
I mean, that's fantastic.
I don't
that's
very that cool.
Arguably better than Bare Naked Ladies.
That's really
you
great.
Need to argue it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I always thought there are a lot of songs that we have where the lyrics are super dark, but the music is peppy.
Oh, yeah.
It's
that's,
bizarre.
That's one
that's
of them.
That's fantastic.
The third one I want to play is Friday I'm in Love.
Yeah.
So
the
tell
Cure.
People.
All right.
Yeah.
It's a wonderful song. I love The Cure. I love this song. But when you track what he's saying and the reasons he gives for why he can't be in love the rest of the week,
right.
You kind of realize that the excuses are very thin. So we just kind of took that and we're like, what if he's not, he doesn't have any pretenses. He's like, look, here are the reasons why I'm not going to love you any other day except for Friday. And we just sort of spelled it out.
This is a clip.
I don't care, your Monday's free. Tuesday, Wednesday, I'm asleep. Oh, Thursday, scandals on TV. It's Friday, I'm still catching up on scandal. Saturday, and Sunday, I'm not into you. But Friday, I'll see what I can do. Oh, my week is so packed, it's an unfortunate fact. But they say that distance keeps the love intact. Maybe it would be fun if I was with you just once on the last Friday of every month. This has nothing to do.
So you get the idea that this is such a creative outlet for two very smart people who are musically inclined, and it's funny every single week. In the past, they've had on Mara Wilson, who did Semi-Charmed Life with them, Jake and Amir, who did Your Song. I mean, it's like they have great guests every single week, and it's like a grab bag. You don't know what they're going to do.
Demi, how did you come up with this concept?
It is something that Miel and I both have just been doing as friends for a while, and I think we were sitting at her place one time listening to Jungle Boogie by Kool and the Gang, and we just couldn't stop laughing about it. And there's this one part of the song where there's this weird guttural talk going through. It's like, get up with it, get down. And then this guy just goes, "Hurr!" And I laugh every single time I hear the song. And I was just like, why do we not focus on how weird some songs are?
So I will not let you come into this room and disparage Kool the Gang, Demi. I'm sorry.
I would never disparage them. That is my ringtone.
That's an awesome, awesome idea, because most podcasts, they're all pretty much the same. But this is super unique.
Yes.
What's it called again, Jensen?
It's called Punch Up the Jam. It's on the HeadGum Network. You can get it anywhere you listen to podcasts, on the Apple Podcasts app. You can everywhere, basically.
Yeah, Spotify,
Spotify, SoundCloud.
That's great. Demi, very nice to meet you. Before we hit the jingle and say goodbye, something going on special for fans of the Gallery 1988, which is the gallery that Jensen owns. You want to announce that real quick?
That's right. We have a Labor Day sale, announcing it here, starting 20% off almost everything on the website. Like 98% of the website is 20% off. If you like pop culture and you like art, this is the place to go. It's gallery1988.com. Just use the code Labor Day during the sale this whole weekend through Labor Day. And everything's off. 20% off almost everything.
Very cool.
Yeah.
It's a good deal. Jensen, thank you. Demi, nice to meet you. Congratulations
Demi,
on the podcast.
Sorry, we have to re-record the whole thing. It was never on.
Yeah, that's all good.
That's all good.
Get up, get on up, all this.
Get up, get on up,
all this.
Get up,
get on up,
all this.
Get up,
get on up,
all this.
Ali's in love, Kevin.
I love him so much. Not only is he one half of Gilmore Guys.
No, we heard. We all heard that.
No, he's also the guy that did the Lando Calrissian / Childish Gambino rap.
Jensen's get up on this guest was trying to leave, and Ali was grabbing onto his pants leg, and she was like being dragged down the hall as he's trying to get to the door.
Yeah.
It was kind of sad.
Had to call security, and then we realized we don't have security.
Dr. Drew, because we're the only people left on this dying starship. Dr. Drew Pinsky joins us later for his Thursday visit. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. We appreciate you tuning in so much. For folks who listen now, maybe you're not up at the start of the show each day when we come on live at 5:30, but we play a little fancy intro, and we come on and we say hello, and then I usually tell a story, something, a human interest story or something in the news that I find interesting. We have a little chit-chat to kind of warm up and get the day going before the show really takes off like a rocket ride at 6
a.m.
However, when I am out, when I'm on vacation, Kevin steps up, and he's the guy who brings in your morning tale. And last
morning tale.
Last year, about a year and a half ago, it was one of the times when I was on vacation, and Kevin brought in a story, and I am still unclear what the story is about because I've not heard the story.
I'm not
but
sure.
I was going through my computer the other day, and I came across a stack of Afro calls that came in the week after Kevin attempted to tell a story at the start of One Kevin and Bean
They
Show.
Probably came in for a month, by the way.
And I started listening to these, and I'm going to play a couple of them for you here now. And bear in mind, I and maybe some of you listening right now have never heard the story that is being referenced here, but how much do these calls make you want to hear that story?
I want to start an official petition for Kevin to give us the morning story at the beginning of every show, every week. Please. That was freaking amazing.
Now, right. B, when you first heard that,
yes,
did you think there's any way that that was an actually real positive call?
No.
Or you knew immediately that it was a disaster.
No, the guy was definitely mocking.
Oh, no, I know that, but...
Yeah, no, I didn't know he was mocking. All right, here's the second one.
Hey, Kevin, have you heard about this story from India about a guy who's sleeping with a girl who also knows the brother, who's also married to the friend, who has a sickle, and something happens, and somebody sleeps with somebody, and there's a blindfold, and there's a threesome, and I don't know it either because you can't tell the damn story!
Boy, she's not wrong.
No.
I heard that and I thought, I need to hear this story. But wait, there's more.
Kevin, my girlfriend's from India and she wants to have a threesome. But she's my neighbor, but she's married. But I want to marry her. I can't marry her. because she doesn't want to get married and she has a sickle. And then she wants me to have a three-way, but she wants me to wear a blindfold. And then my wife's not going to be there because she's married to my neighbor, who's also in India. And my neighbor has a wife. And then we're all going to have a three-way, but we can't because we're not married. That makes sense, right?
Oh my God, he nailed it.
When I heard that one, I thought, wait, there's a sickle involved?
There's a sickle.
I thought, okay, that, I understand.
Of course, that's what drew my attention to the story.
Sure.
Yes, but the previous callers, I understood that it was some sort of a threesome or some sort of a romantic mix-up in India. I got that, and then all of a sudden, now there's a sickle involved, and I thought, this is getting weirder and weirder, but the calls kept coming.
I thought Bean's story about a couple looking for a lost dog for months was the worst opening in the history of the Kevin and Bean show. But then Kevin came in and dropped the mic.
Look, you tell me when to stop, Kevin. I've got hundreds more. You want more?
I mean, let's hear a couple more because I'm...
I just listened to Tuesday's opening segment, and goddamn, Kevin, you're a hero. You keep doing what you're doing.
All right, keep doing what you're doing.
Seriously, Kevin, what the hell? What the hell's wrong with you?
Right.
You need help.
None of these people are wrong.
Kevin. None of these people.
You are the worst. The worst at telling stories. Okay? I was already having a bad morning. And then I hear you with the sickle and the neighbor and the arranged marriage. And this is India and the cut-off penis.
Cut-off penis?
Yes. Somebody needs to cut off your penis.
Oh.
That seems extreme.
Even your head. And put it all in a bag in the desert.
Okay. So I insist, Kevin, because I haven't heard the story. I insist that we revisit the story.
You want me to retell it, though? You want me to retell it, right?
Oh, no. Oh, no. OG, man. OG.
I want to replay it?
I want to hear it the way the listeners heard it so I can love it as they do.
All right. We don't have time here, but we'll take a quick break and then we'll come back. And then we'll play the story that inspired so many.
Yes.
Kevin, son of a bitch.
Kevin retells the India sickle story coming up next right here on K-Rock.
Sorry, we're out of time. We got to do that other thing.
Nope.
A thing where we do the thing with the calls and the deal.
From the 818, oh my God, I downloaded Kevin's telling of the India story, and I listen to it at least once a week. A listener says, if you're just joining us, it occurred to us that I never heard the India sickle threesome story. And apparently it is legendary, my boy. So, Kevin, you pulled out the tape and we're going to revisit it.
Well, it was actually the B team that pulled it out and said, hey, you guys need to do this. But
okay.
So this is when we come on the air. Bean's on vacation and I start with a very fascinating story. I'd like to start off today's show with a very, very fine story.
Okay.
Jilted woman cut off her lover's penis with a sickle.
Oh, a sickle? Like a knife is bad enough, but this is a sickle?
A sickle. Before fleeing with it.
The sickle?
Yes. Down the street after he told her he was marrying someone else. He kept quiet about what happened at his girlfriend's home. This is in India, by the way.
Okay.
The police said it was a case of attempted murder and being registered against the 20-year-old girl, who they actually did end up finding, who was a neighbor of the victim. So she was his neighbor, and she was dating him for 4 years.
Okay.
And she cut off his penis.
Right.
Because he wouldn't leave his wife.
Wait. Kevin, I need you to tell this story better. But you said...
Girl cuts off his penis.
Because he was going to marry someone else, you said.
Because she was going to marry someone else. He was already married and he was a neighbor.
Wait.
She was his neighbor.
No, neighbor doesn't even matter, Kevin.
Wait, who's marrying who, Kevin?
We still don't know.
Honestly, I'm not positive.
Here's what I will tell you just behind the scenes before we continue is that I remember, like, glancing over the story, but not really having a firm handle on it at the beginning. And then when Allie started asking me obvious questions where I was contradicting myself, I realized I'm just winging it now. I'm just going to make up that part of the story, but none of the stuff I made up was in keeping with what I said before.
No.
Yeah, why does the neighbor girlfriend need to cut off the married next-door neighbor's penis if she's marrying someone else? I was confused as well.
That was only the beginning.
Okay.
So it continues.
They dated for 4 years.
Right.
And then he was going to marry someone else, you said. So she cut off his penis. But now you're saying he's already married?
That he had already been married to other people, yes. So the way she did it was she lured him into a three-way with his wife.
This is
so wife.
Okay.
Husband.
Uh-huh.
Neighbor.
Okay.
Let's all have sex.
Right.
The guy said, all right, I'm
sure.
In. But you need to put on a blindfold. By the way, blindfold.
Wait, what? Never.
That's what she said.
Never.
If they ask you to put on a blindfold, don't put on a blindfold.
No.
Because then she can bring out a sickle.
Sure.
And you won't see it.
Yeah.
So apparently she was unhappy that the marriage was arranged.
Okay.
And that he had married somebody else, and that her marriage was starting to be arranged, and she wanted him. So she, I guess it was a, if I can't have you, no one can?
Right.
Well, why chop off the penis with a sickle?
Yeah, you would think a knife would do the job, but maybe a sickle, that's just, that's so aggressive. She was
angry. It says here, the girl invited the victim to her residence with his wife and cut off his private part using a reaping hook.
I hate this story so much. So the wife was there witnessing this all, or did she have a blindfold as well?
The wife... Okay. Okay. The wife wasn't there.
Kevin! You're making this up.
I'm not.
You go.
I'm not. I'm just telling you.
She invited him over with the wife for a three-way.
Right. That's what... He thought the wife was there, and the girl, the next door neighbor, put the blindfold
Kevin,
on.
Kevin, is there a sickle or a penis in this story?
Yes.
Are
both.
You sure?
Unfortunately, both.
Okay. It sounds like you're backing away from the three-way completely, and where did the arranged marriages come from?
Honestly, I think I made both of those up. On the spot, I was just like, all right, I can rescue this. This is not a big deal. I couldn't rescue this.
You're keeping it straight in your head. At least you're trying to.
And by the way, this is a year and a half ago, so Ralph Garman was still here, and he came in to bust me, as well he should.
Right.
And to back up Allie. But his wife wasn't there, but neighbors said his wife was there and was getting ready for a three-way. They were all ready to go.
Neighbors? Why are neighbors aware of the three-way? Kevin, I hate
what?
That story.
How are neighbors what?
Aware of the three-way. You said neighbors saw. Why'd you just add that tidbit?
So the neighbors knew there was a three-way? I don't. I can't.
I don't.
I don't.
I'm not. Want more. I want more.
Ralph, help me out. Help me.
Ralph came in.
This is the longest moment with Kevin ever.
There's a neighbor.
We're not going to have time to play when we have to replay
Thank
this every
you.
Day for the rest of
I
our lives.
I thought I was going crazy. Like,
no,
am
Allie.
I not paying attention?
Allie, you're poor. You poor, poor girl.
Thank you, Ralph.
It was nuts.
There's a neighbor. Okay? Now, why at that point...
Now you're just going to fix it.
Why at that point don't I give up?
You Great guys question. Aren't getting it.
I mean,
Here's the
obviously,
story.
Two people that I know are right are calling me on this story, and yet I'm going to try it again.
And somehow you think you have control of the facts enough that you are going to you're going to beat your haters here by proving that you know what's going on.
And they were all going to have to apologize.
Uh-huh. Oh.
Right. There's a neighbor. Okay? Are we all on board there? Okay. By the way, that's sort of me being a dick. Like, you guys get that part, right?
Right.
Because right? you're the stupid
so
one.
So condescending.
Right? She's having sex with her neighbor.
Right.
Yes, good?
Right.
He's married.
Right.
Okay.
They've been having a relationship for 4 years.
So he didn't tell her he was going to marry someone else like you said at the beginning of the story.
Is that what I said?
Yes! Absolutely!
He
said
was
the girl
married.
Cut off his penis because he told her he was going to marry someone else.
Oh.
It's exactly what you said at the
he
beginning.
He was married to someone else.
Very different.
Okay.
I swear to God.
Okay. So the neighbor invites...
By the way, I don't know if you heard that, but Allie said under her breath, I want to go home. And it was like 5:36.
Him over for a supposed three-way with wife. Wife not there. Blindfold, sickle, penis.
Right.
Dude, what are you doing?
So I messed up he was going to marry someone else. That's where I messed up?
No, because then you also said she announced, she told him she was going to marry someone else.
Mm-hmm.
It was part of the problem.
Yeah. And then the neighbors knew about the three-way.
Right.
So they were
the
all watching.
Knew about the three-way.
No.
Other neighbors got involved.
No, I wasn't even talking about other neighbors.
Well, you said, the neighbors knew about the three-way.
The
Thank God you're here.
Neighbor. man.
And you also said the penis was good enough during a three-way with the wife before what? You told us there God. Was no three-way.
During what he thought was a three-way.
Very different.
Okay.
Very different than it was put up during a three-way with the wife.
Neighbor, husband, wife. Three-way, neighbor's house, he thinks. Blindfold, sickle penis. Boom.
Thank God that District Attorney Ralph Garman comes in to cross-examine the witness, because your case just fell apart on the stand, Kevin.
Why, after what you just heard, would I say boom?
Like, you nailed it.
Right. Why?
No idea.
I think I was just trying to get out.
Well, so were we.
And I didn't.
So tired of your Mad Libs work. I say we just all walk.
We all walk?
Call it a day.
Kevin, I need you to listen to this later.
Let's do it later.
Really, really focused.
And see where I went south?
Yes.
Neighbor, husband,
no,
wife.
Stop doing that. No, no. Stop doing it. No.
There's
no boom.
There is a boom.
Never a boom.
Of course there's a boom.
No boom.
I agree with the girl.
So that was the end.
No
of,
boom.
That was the
no
end of the
boom.
Attempted story. I tried to give myself a boom, what, five times?
Yep. At least. It's so bad, Kevin.
Yeah, it wasn't my finest storytelling moment.
They can't take away that Hall of Fame honor, right?
I hope not. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:53.
You may not know this.
So there's this couple.
Mm-hmm.
No, 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 no.
They're married.
Not again.
And there's a sickle and a penis.
Not again.
Boom.
You may not know this, but this weekend, you guys, is National Cover Song Day. September 1st is National Cover Song Day. Of course, we're not on Saturday, so we're going to celebrate that tomorrow. And there's, talk about ripping the nation apart, you guys.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like we're really split on Korn doing Word Up.
Oh, we're not split.
The cameo
we are
song.
Not split.
We are not split on that.
I feel like I am team no on Korn doing Word Up. Kevin, where are you?
Way no.
You're
absolute
way no.
Absolutely
yes,
no.
Yes, everybody's no. Although,
yes.
For comedy.
It's possible that it's bad enough to be funny.
It's maybe that's the way around it. That is, maybe we do a segment tomorrow on Hell No for cover songs.
I like it.
Okay. So anyway, you can call the AFRO line anytime at 323-520-AFRO if you've got a cover song, or you can get in touch with us on the social media. Something that you'd like to hear a cover song tomorrow should be super, super fun here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Thursday now, though, Allie's here with what's happening.
Well, Dave the King of Mexico tweeted out a story yesterday, and then it was all over the news, and I'm now obsessed with it. You can get paid to eat avocados and possibly lose weight. So there's a study that they're going to be doing about, does the fatty fruit avocado actually promote weight loss by reducing belly fat? So they need a bunch of people, one of two groups. One group, the test group, will be asked to eat one avocado every day for 6 months. Yes, please, test group.
Wow.
And
you like avocado that much, Allie, that you would enjoy eating one every day?
100%. Yeah.
What do you have with your avocado?
I can eat it. I could literally cut into an avocado and just spoon out
just
the avocado.
Huh. Oh, really? Oh, you don't need it to be part
no.
of a meal or a dress? Okay.
To
let's
me,
say you would eat it like an apple.
Yeah, it tastes
which
like
kind
a
of apple,
desserty
though?
Treat. How dare you? No more apple talk.
And avocados are good for you?
Well, it's supposedly the best fatty that you can have.
Good
the best fat,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the control group, they will be required to eat two avocados or fewer per month. F that group, right? I don't want to be in that group. So each person taking part in the study will receive a free MRI and health screening, and they have to meet with a dietitian once a month. At the end of the six-month study, each participant will be paid $300.
Ooh, all right.
Sounds good, right?
Yeah, right.
Here's what you need to do. You need to be 25 years or older.
Okay.
And like I said, be willing to eat one avocado a day for 6 months, or be a sucker in the control group and have only two avocados per month for the same period. Guys have to measure at least 40 inches around the waist. And
you mean when you start?
When you start,
okay,
yes.
40 inches.
40
okay.
inches. And then ladies, you have to measure at least 35 inches.
And then whoever gains the most in inches wins?
I don't think there's a winning okay. or a loser. This, again, is a study to see if avocados actually promote weight loss because
gotcha.
It's reducing belly fat.
Okay.
All right. Here's the part at the very end of this.
All right.
The study is funded by the Haas Avocado Board, although the university says the sponsorship won't affect the science.
This is advertising?
So they've already decided that avocados help you lose weight.
Yeah, I think we could just end this study right now. That will be reveal. I mean.
But who reads
the
small print?
It's been a great day. Our avocado adventure. Actually, we also saw a dog eat an avocado today.
Oh.
The Grove we were just visiting.
Yes.
Their dogs ate avocados, and they are have the shiniest, healthiest-looking coat.
But how's their weight, though, Huell?
Right? Oh, God bless him. What a treasure he was. Huell Hauser, everybody. It's poor one out.
You know, they still do those marathons from time to time, like New Year's and whatnot, and I watch them. I love it.
Love it, too. Oh, something else I love. Safari Samuels, he's Nicki Minaj's ex-boyfriend. Remember the one that they got in a Twitter spat and she wound up saying that she paid for his hair to be transplanted
back?
Got a
little ugly.
Yeah, it got really ugly. Well, he'll get the last laugh. See, that's a callback to the last hour. He's partnered with the toy company Doc Johnson in a seven-figure deal to create a mold of his member. So apparently, Safari.
Did you say? Hold on. Did you say a seven-figure deal?
Seven-figure deal.
How different can it be from anyone else's?
Oh, I don't think it's different. I think maybe. She had a song called Anaconda, right?
Right.
Know what I'm saying?
I
think
do.
That was an ode to Safari.
Penis.
So, pre-orders go on sale in December, but buyers will have to wait until Valentine's Day 2019 for them to ship. Here's what he had to say. I work hard so I can get the last laugh. When y'all think I'm losing, I'm not. Trust me. Ladies, I'm all yours. But my anaconda don't want none if you ain't got buns, hun. Okay.
This was the Anaconda remix, if I remember correctly.
Wow.
Right, remember?
That one did better than the original, right?
One of Nicki's best, I thought.
Right.
But don't be worried that that will be his only income, because Hair Club for Men also approached him after they saw the tweet about the hair transplant. So this dude, this is the definition of the last laugh. Like, he's chuckling.
He's actually getting paid.
Yeah, yep. For having a big dong, right? I don't think we pay men enough for that.
Right?
Penis.
Just saying.
I didn't watch the Shop. I guess it's called the new HBO show centered on race relations,
mm-hmm.
hosted by LeBron James.
Right, the barbershop.
How's isn't it just called the Shop though? Right?
Yeah, but it takes place
takes
in
place in a barbershop.
Yeah.
How's his hair looking these days? Where's LeBron on the scale lately?
I don't know.
I mean, it's sort of been the same for a while.
He got a pretty good transplant though, right?
Yeah, I would think
Didn't
so.
He? I mean, I don't think about it anymore.
I don't think about it either.
No.
You look at pictures of him from like the Miami days, and you go, dude, that's a totally different hair,
huh? So, I'll do some research on that.
Yeah.
I wasn't paying attention to LeBron's hair.
Oh, that's very important.
Yeah.
Dude, he's on your team now. You've got to start keeping track of stuff like this.
But I keep track of, shooting percentage, that kind of thing.
Lame.
Points, assists, rebounds, that kind of thing.
Dumb.
Okay. Oh, then you don't care about sports.
Yeah, because remember there was a time where his headband was creeping back further
remember that.
And people were like, dude, bro, we get it. You're going bald. Your headband is doing nothing now. Oh, God bless him.
I mean, I think he's doing all right.
I think he'll be just fine. Absolutely. Hey, coming up, I'm going to tell you about Mulder and Scully, how you can have them in your home. What? Yes, please.
That's awesome.
Speaking of dong, right? David Duchovny, who's with me. Give us a call. 1-800.
Nope.
All right.
Penis.
Some birthdays for you. Ryan Ross from Panic at the Disco. Andy Roddick, Lewis Black, Michael Chiklis, and Cameron Diaz. Happy birthday. That's what's happening.
Anything else?
Also, happy belated birthday to Phonop Rubin.
Good work.
Dr. Drew Pinsky joins us for our weekly visit coming up in an hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We got more tickets this hour and next for Six Flags Magic Mountain as well. I made a terrible mistake the other day, Kevin, and decided to walk to the French Quarter.
Yeah? Why is that terrible?
It's about 2.5 miles from my house, which is fine, but it was 100 degrees out,
ooh,
and I almost passed out.
And humidity, I assume.
I almost got heat stroke. But I didn't want to drive because it's such a pain in the ass to drive down there. And I didn't want to take my bike because I thought it would get stolen. So I walked. So at one point before I passed out, I thought, I got to get out of this sun and get into some air conditioning. So I ducked into a little chicken place and got me some iced tea and sat down. And I looked up on the wall and there was a sign that said, if you vomit in our restaurant, we charge you a $50 cleanup fee.
In a restaurant?
In a restaurant. And I don't think I have ever seen that anywhere before.
I've never heard of the policy, let alone a sign that says...
A sign on the wall. And I guess it makes sense in the French Quarter. There are lots of people who are, you know, we got the open carry, not for guns, but for alcohol here in New Orleans. So people get really, really drunk and just pub crawl or restaurant crawl or whatever. And I bet a lot of people throw up in a lot of buildings.
Oh, sure.
So I guess they just wanted to put that out there to let people know, hey, it's going to cost you. Run outside if you're going to vomit, I guess is the
best
thing
they're trying to say. By the way, I'm fine with that. Cleaning that up from somebody else, I'm fine with that.
Yeah, I think I am too. I completely understand why they do it. I had just never seen it before.
Right,
and then I thought, because on the same sign was the little YouTube logo, and I thought, are they also threatening to embarrass you by, because they have cameras in the restaurant, by uploading you onto YouTube?
Is that be awesome.
Is that their subtle way of saying, plus you're going to go viral in addition to having to pay the $50? And that got me to thinking about this phone topic where we're going to take your calls at 1-800-520-1067, the most awkward place you've ever thrown up. Everyone's vomited at some point.
Sure.
If you're lucky, you've only ever had to vomit at home in the privacy of your own bathroom. That's not always the case. I present, ladies and gentlemen, the first witness for the prosecution, K-Rock Kevin.
taking a helicopter tour in Hawaii. Mm-hmm. And you could smell, is it the sulfur smell around a volcano?
Okay.
So, and it was kind of moving and left and right, and everybody else seemed fine. Mm-hmm. And I had a video camera, which is a little bit bigger in those days, so I could sort of hide it, and I was in the back corner. So I reached for the vomit bag because I was just like, this is not going to go well.
Yeah.
Everybody else was fine. Grab the vomit bag, throw up, think, all right, great, I'm fine. I'm hiding myself behind my camera because no one can see me. Fantastic.
People didn't even know in the helicopter that you had thrown up?
Because it's pretty loud. So you can't really hear what's going on. And I sort of had their view blocked. So that was just the first time, though.
Oh, no.
So then second time, third time.
Oh, my
gosh. How big is this bag?
I was going to say, you're going to need a bigger bag. Yeah.
Now it's getting to the point where the bag is full. So then I took my camera bag and started with that one.
Because
what would you do? There's like six people in a helicopter. You're all jammed in.
Mm-hmm. Can't you vomit? There's no windows or doors. You can't vomit outside? Okay.
Not in a helicopter.
I don't know. Just lean over the side? Or I don't know.
There's not. But okay. I threw up, I don't know, 10 times?
No.
Oh,
yes. Dude, I can't. The smell.
Just on
that
alone.
That's what I'm saying. How did no one in there?
I'm not positive that they didn't. Realize what was going on because
they were being nice.
Yeah, they were really being nice.
But Kevin, and I know we don't want to, I mean, I know this is a tough topic for people, especially in the morning. You may be eating, we apologize. But after you throw up four times, is there anything left?
You would think that. You would think that.
Kevin's got skills.
Turns out there's more. Who knew? There's always more.
So Kevin's like a camel, man. Camel keeps water. Kevin just has.
I just saved my throw up for years.
You just have food for months stacked up just in case you need it.
Then there was one other time, and it was a scuba diving expedition. So we were going out on a boat, and we were all. There was no room for anyone to sit. And I got sick, and I turned around. I was throwing up in the ocean. But. Repeatedly. And at the end of the tour, everyone else got off that was in the boat and they all walked one way and they were all talking about how great it was and blah, blah, blah. And I just did the walk of shame over by myself to my car.
Oh.
Because that was probably 20.
Oh, my God.
Because it was a double dive. It was a double dive. So you go a long way, then you get in the water, you're fine. Scuba diving in the water, you're fine. Get back up on the boat, oh, no. Here we go again. Go to a second spot.
You're just chumming the water. That's
I was chumming the water big time, though. It's not ideal.
Oh, God, this is so disgusting. I think I'm going to puke.
We don't need any sound effects, please.
Who's hungry?
Any other examples, Kevin?
Well, I mean, I was at the Palms Hotel in Vegas.
All right.
And my friend Aisa was sort of trying to help me get through the lobby. Mm-hmm. And I was not able to make it. And I was looking for trash cans really desperately. Then I realized there's no way that I can I can't look for trash cans. Somebody said, hey, Bean. Like, and I said,
to the left, to the right.
Yes, because I didn't want to take responsibility for that.
Palms
floor. That's Vegas 101.
So the first time was the motion of the helicopter. The second time was the motion of the boat. The third time was the motion of the alcohol in your stomach.
Yes.
Okay, gotcha.
Sheesh.
I have more.
Don't doubt it.
By the way, phones packed.
Yeah.
They're practically smoking. They're rigging so hard right now at 1-800-520-1067. We'll get right to your calls. DJ Omar Khan.
Yeah.
You too?
I have one. Yeah. Mine comes from drinking, though, which I think is pretty common.
Sure.
So I was at Bad Religion show. Dumb, you know, kid in my early 20s, mixing beer and hard liquor. Mm. And at the end of the night, we get into the car, and it was a little Nissan Altima, and there's like seven people in there, and I'm wasted.
Oh, no.
I just want to get home. So Kazzy's driving home, and I'm laying across the back seat. Four dudes, Dave's in the car.
You're laying on them?
I'm laying on them across. And my head's out the window, and I'm just yakking in the middle of Sunset Boulevard at 2 a.m., stuck in traffic. And there's two motorcycle officers right there just pointing and laughing at me. They're like, dude, get him home.
They did the right thing.
Yeah, they're like, get him home. Yeah, it wasn't ideal in front of cops.
Everywhere?
Yeah.
That's pretty fantastic.
Amazing. All right, let's take one real quick before the break, and let's go to line five. Let's make it Nick LaHabra. We're talking about the most awkward place you ever vomited. I think Nick's wife here is going to be at the top of the leaderboard.
Hey, Nick.
Well, Nick, what happened?
I can share the story because she's at work and she's not listening.
Perfect.
Last year, we went to a concert. We both ride motorcycles, and we went together. She was drinking sangria and wine most of the night, and I realized at the end of the night she had an empty stomach. And on our way home on the 101, I feel dead weight behind me as she's leaning over.
Oh, no.
And chunks are coming out of her helmet.
Oh, no. She'd thrown up in her helmet?
I'm holding on to her with one hand. She's blowing chunks off to the side.
All right. We don't need a lot of detail on the throw-up, if that's okay in this phone topic.
Blowing chunks makes it worse.
I had to stop twice, and on the side of the freeway, and we eventually got home. But the next morning, it was an ugly picture in the bike.
I bet it was inside a motorcycle helmet. By the way, that seems like it would impair your ability to breathe.
Look, you use what you have.
I guess you do. All right, Nick, we're going to call your wife later and tell her that you shared the story. 1-800-520-1067. We want to hear your vomit story when we return. Right after this, I'm kidding.
All right, just at Empire of the Sun. Let's take one phone call. Let's make it Juan in Yorba Linda. Hi, Juan.
Hi, guys. Good morning.
Good morning.
So my vomit story goes back to when I was 40. I'm 40 now. Back in high school, a sophomore, we were invited to a ditching party, and we're all hanging out in this popular kid's room, smoking pot. 10 minutes later, I started getting sick, and everybody was around, so I quietly ninja'd vomit underneath his pillowcase.
You what?
Ninja
vomiting. Ninja vomiting is really, if there's not a band named that, I don't even know you people.
And it was funny because the room was packed and I had to do it quietly so nobody noticed. So I did. I vomited underneath his pillowcase. And like 3 minutes later, someone moved the pillowcase to sit down on the bed to get comfortable. And they were like, ooh, somebody vomited. Somebody threw up. And then, like, as soon as I vomited, I moved out of the way so I wouldn't be the one that was blamed.
I would have stood around and said, who did that? Go on the offensive.
I didn't want nothing to do with that, right?
You got away with it, Juan.
Like, yeah.
Well, you're a smarter man than I.
That's awesome.
Okay,
appreciate
the call.
Thank you. Oh, that was awkward. Let's go to Jocelyn on line 8, only because every other call is a dude.
Hey, we're still playing a song, I think, no?
Oh, we are. Yeah. That's right. Let's play Empire of the Sun, and then we'll talk to Jocelyn, because every other call is a dude, and at least we got someone repping the ladies right after this on K-Rox. Oops, sorry. Kevin just seemed to have a lot of awkward vomiting stories, like right
a lot
on
more
the top of his head. The alley, I mean, it was kind of remarkable.
It's too much.
I have an Uber one. You want to hear that one?
Yeah,
that's too gross. I'm sorry. That was, you don't want to hear that one.
We're taking your calls about awkward vomiting. You vomited not in a regular place, but in a place that made it even more embarrassing for you at 1-800-520-1067. Muggs, you stand by. We're going to get to one of your stories. First, I promised Jocelyn in North Hollywood, someone representing for the ladies. Jocelyn, what happened?
Hello, everyone.
Good morning.
Good morning. So this was my 21st birthday, and my friends and I, we all went out to a club, of course, I was on an empty stomach.
Yep.
I was on an empty stomach, and I was chugging tequila. Oof. And my friends, they sat me down. Oh, they were all taking care of me. And at one point, I wandered off.
Are you going to have to get to the part where you threw up, if you don't mind?
Okay. I ended up in another girl's VIP section, and the bottle service, I emptied out all of her bottles, threw the ice all over the floor, and threw up in her bucket.
In the bottle service bucket.
There you go. There you go. Well done.
That's good work.
Hey, that's better. At least she had something nearby she could use. That's so much better than just like all over the table.
Floor. I like that she went to another girl's table, though, section.
Not messing up hers.
That's awesome.
All right. Thank you, Jocelyn. Dear Kevin and Bean, this one comes in from Aaron in Lakewood. I was in the passenger seat of my friend John's car a long time ago, and I got stuck while driving down the road. I got sick while driving down the road. Sorry. But I didn't stick my head out far enough, so I projectile vomited all over the dude in the back seat.
Oh.
That's not the worst part.
What?
We cleaned and cleaned, as only drunk people can do, and then I even paid to get the car detailed, but it's still sort of smelled like puke. Flash forward to the following weekend, my friend John went out on a date. She gets into the car, pulls out the passenger seatbelt, and it's covered with dry, caked-on vomit.
Come on.
End of date, he sold the car. The end. That's
he sold the car as is.
That vomit, by the way, that affected the guy in the back seat, affected the friend, affected the friend's date. That would just, that had legs, didn't it?
That's not ideal.
All right, Muggs, what happened to you? You seem like a guy who would wake up in a bush after a particularly rough night.
Yeah, well, this is at the Flamingo in Las Vegas. I challenged the bartender, and boy, did he win, because...
You challenged the bartender? Challenged the bartender. To what? A drink off?
A drink that
You're an idiot.
A drink that would just get me just hammered, and it got me sick. I was eating steak and eggs with two of my buddies in the cafe. And before the dinner even, or before the breakfast even came, I put my head down on the table, proceeded to start vomiting all over my lap. My shirt, my lap. I got up because I was so embarrassed.
All right.
And I was dodging all the people that had just waken up to like start their day in Vegas in the lobby. There's like everybody's bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. And here I am playing Frogger in between people trying to run up to my room with vomit all over myself.
But you know what? All those people in Vegas were like, yeah, been there.
Probably.
All good.
That's the one place you don't have to worry about standing out.
Yes,
if that happens to you. All right. Thank you, Muggs. Let's go to Harry on line four, please. Valley Village up next on the Kevin and Bean Show. By the way, we could take 100 calls
yeah,
in a row.
Could.
We won't, but we could.
Harry, hi.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
We are good. What happened to you?
Heavy night of drinking with the wife, celebrating something. Don't really remember what it was.
Right.
Driving home. Of course. Driving home. She pulls into the driveway, and I immediately run. As I'm trying to run, start puking all over the lawn, all over my driveway.
Mm.
That's not the crazy part. I got to go to the bathroom, so I pull down my pants. As I'm urinating, I slip face down right in my puke.
Down in your own
horrible.
Vomit.
You're the worst.
She called my parents to come and pick me up off the lawn. My parents live 5 houses up. She's like, I'm not dealing with this.
Doesn't she know that snitches get stitches? I mean, come on.
By the way, you were so sick that your wife didn't want to have anything to do with you.
That's what I'm saying. 35
that's amazing.
Years old and my mom, 35 years old, and my mom had to come pick me up.
That's amazing.
She was very proud.
Thank you.
Harry, thank you. Two more texts in. 323, family outing to Disneyland on Star Tours. My sister-in-law upchucked on the seat. As the tour ended, the doors opened to the new riders. We got up and calmly ran out.
Somebody else's
problem when they walk in. From the 562, this is Kasun from Redondo. I was once hooking up with someone while being drunk in a boat in Marina del Rey. I got motion sickness because the boat kept moving and threw up on her back.
Oh.
Yay!
Right? All right.
That's more than a hookup.
Right? Let's do one more. Which one you want?
All right, let's go to George. Hi there.
All right.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good. Thank you.
So, yeah, so I go to a club, and long story short, dancing with this smoking hot chick, I get nervous. I while we're dancing, I throw up behind me quietly.
Wait, on the dance floor?
Yeah, on the dance floor.
Sweet.
And then I ended up seeing some other chick with some nice heels slip and fall, landing all in my vomit.
Oh.
She goes, "What the F? Someone vomited." And I continue dancing with the other girl.
I mean, I got to give you props for that.
Yeah, you got it. Yeah.
I ended up getting a kiss at the end of the night.
Oh, poor girl. You just puked.
Right?
Yeah, she didn't know.
Oh, she knew.
She knew.
She knew.
Worst kiss ever. All right, you guys, listen. We'll move on in a second, I promise. But I do have to read this tweet, if you don't mind.
All right.
Talking about awkward places that you vomited.
Sure. Uh-huh.
When I was a little kid, I had a pretty bad fever at Sunday Mass.
Oh.
Walking up to get the communion, wasn't feeling so well.
Oh, no.
When I finally received the wafer, I unleashed on the priest.
No!
I mean...
Unleashed!
Oh.
These days, that sounds like a pretty smart defensive move.
And to this day, I don't go to that church anymore.
Yeah,
I don't blame him. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:53.
So I woke up this morning, and I took Klonopin, which is a sleep medicine, instead of Lexapro, which is an antidepressant.
Is it wearing off?
So I started the show basically with my body wanting to go to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And then you saw that tweet from that guy that said, take another pill.
I did not take his advice.
Then they'll counteract each other.
Nope.
I'd like to point out that I am still alive.
Mm-hmm.
I am still awake. I am still alert. And I think I am good speaking. Wouldn't you agree with me?
Are you still having problems for real?
Yes, I'm telling you, it's like, I don't know, it's like I'm having a fever dream.
I have
the squiggly lines in front of my eyes, and I can't focus on anything, and I just, everything feels like it's moving in slow
motion. You should do that every day.
Do not do the show on sleep medication, kids. That's the message from the Kevin and Bean Show today. All right, Dr. Drew Pinsky joins us with his weekly visit right after the top of the hour. First, though, Allie, what's happening?
I will say this, though, Bean. This compared to your Sizzurp morning,
yeah,
a night and day.
Yeah, I mean, really,
Sizzurbeam was magic.
I could barely get a sentence out under the Sizzurp that
right.
time.
Let's do that tomorrow.
And
let's
then not. He thought with the Sizzurp that because something was happening with his throat or something, that if he just coated it with more Sizzurp, that would be better.
Love it.
So we found out halfway through the show, he was continuously doing Sizzurp.
Uh-huh.
Oh, that was a
joy. I think that's Bean living his best life.
I agree 100%. Whew. Well, you guys, the truth is out there. And Fox has plenty of ideas how to celebrate that.
If you tell me the X-Files is coming back yet again, I'm not going to know what to think.
Well, I wish that was true. No, wait. What they're doing, they're marking their 25th anniversary of the X-Files. That takes place next month in September. So Mulder and Scully getting a whole new look. David Duchovny and Gillian Anderson getting their own Barbie dolls.
Oh.
No one was as excited as I was.
I mean, I don't have a collection of Barbie dolls.
I don't either, but I will get Mulder and Scully.
But isn't the Funko? That's the hot thing you want, you get your own Funko,
obviously,
right?
Obviously, yeah. By the way, Notorious B.I.G. Funko coming soon. Thank you, lady on Instagram that alerted me. But what they're also going to do is they're giving fans of the X-Files a chance to test their trivia knowledge of the show. From now until September 3rd, you can submit your own trivia questions to shop.fox.com for the Truth Is Out There trivia contest. Then they're going to put those questions up.
Okay.
You answer the questions, and then the winner that knows the most trivia about X-Files, they're going to win a prize pack that also includes the Barbie dolls. Hmm. Kumail's winning that, right? Kumail Nanjiani's winning that.
Yeah. Is he eligible to compete as a cast member of the show?
Oh, good question.
Suck it, Kumail. And by suck it, can you come over to my house and we will take that quiz together?
What's the deadline on that again?
From now until September 3rd, you can submit. Oh, my God, I love you. I love you so much, Bean. It hurts sometimes.
Yeah!
Wow. That was the alley and the oop from Dean.
Oh, my God. I love it so much.
That was so dumb. I'm going to say well done.
Thank you, Kevin. Usually you don't appreciate that kind of nonsense.
I don't, because usually puns and that kind of nonsense is done poorly. That was pretty good.
Oh my God.
Yeah, now don't ruin it.
And Bean is working at Half Bean today. That was impressive.
Thank you.
What?
Thank you very much.
Maybe we need Half Bean every day.
I do love the X-Files, and I didn't love every minute of the reboot seasons, mm-hmm. but I was still happy to have it back on my TV. I'd rather have that X-Files than no X-Files.
See, and you say you didn't love every moment. There was only probably one show where I was like, eh. The rest, I was dying for.
Yeah, I don't think I was quite as enthusiastic as you were, but it was definitely worth bringing back and definitely worth putting on.
I loved it. I wish it keep going forever.
Yes.
And Dave and Jillian are such great actors and so fun together and have such good chemistry. I mean, I do miss it.
I'm sorry to bring it down, guys.
Yeah, we're having a good time.
I know. So when you think of Stephen Colbert, a guy that comes out every night, does his show live, just amazing, right?
Right.
Up mm-hmm. there, cool as a cucumber.
Enormously talented.
You would never know that he traversed quite a rocky road for a while with anxiety.
Oh,
and
really?
He said that he had to be medicated for his anxiety. And after his wedding in 93, he had a complete nervous breakdown.
Wow.
He said that his wife would come home and she would say, oh, how was your day? And he'd be walking around the couch, and she's like, how's your day? And he'd say, you're looking at it, just tight circles around the couch.
All day.
Oh, because he worked at night, wow. So his mind during the day was just freaking him out. So he said that, well, obviously non-anxious people break into a sweat, even thinking about performing, going out there on stage.
Right.
It's where he always feels the most comfortable. It's like this huge adrenaline rush he gets out there, and then when he's off stage is kind of where it would set back
That's
in.
That's where he runs into problems.
Yes.
I feel like that was Letterman's problem for a long time, too.
Yeah.
The best part of
his day was the show.
That show, right?
I know another guy that recently has said that.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not at all surprised to hear of any famous person. We're going to talk to Dr. Drew about some of the celebrities going into rehab right now. Any famous people are people, and they have the same problems as everybody else. And your next door neighbor has anxiety. Stephen Colbert has anxiety. It's indiscriminate.
And I think it's so important that we hear these stories, because there's someone listening right now that's like, oh my God, Stephen Colbert too. I'm not alone. Maybe I can get through this. It's just knowing that people everywhere.
Yeah, it used to be an embarrassing thing, and that's too bad. It's
really
good that people are talking about it.
Yeah, stigma, I think, gets broken down every single day, which is good. We're not where we need to be with a lot of you dudes need to just say, hey, I need help. It's fine.
Hello?
You're not weak. You just need help. Everyone needs help.
Hello.
And this is a weird story. We talked about it earlier, but it's still creeping me out, and I don't want it to. But Aretha Franklin's open casket, they're changing her clothes each day. So the first day, red dress, red Louboutins, her heels. Then yesterday, she had a different dress, powder blue. So then tomorrow she'll be in a gown. And Kevin, you mentioned it earlier. She's not a Barbie doll. Like, what's happening?
This is odd. I've never heard of this.
It's weird to me.
And they got that guy that's moving her mouth and making it look like she's singing.
That is not true.
I just feel that's inappropriate.
That's too far. I hate you right now so much.
I love him right now so much.
Some birthdays for you. Andy Roddick. Ryan Ross. Panic the Disco, Michael Chiklis, Louis Black, Cameron Diaz, and happy belated to our own phone op Ruben, who didn't tell any of us it was his birthday, and I saw on his Instagram stories celebrating my birthday with my brother and all these people. So the next day I was like, Ruben, did you just have a birthday? And he goes, well, it's actually today. And that was yesterday.
So none
did
of
I
us
tell that story well?
It wasn't a necessary story to tell.
All right. Happy birthday, Ruben. That's what's happening.
Guys, our friend Dr. Drew Pinsky's on the phone.
What?
Dr. Drew.
Yeah.
We heard from a lot of listeners when those, like, 16 nurses at that one hospital in Arizona turned up pregnant at the same time last week. They all figured that this was going to be somehow, you were going to be responsible for that. It was going to be a new TV show you were working on.
Ooh, you're onto something here, though.
Busy.
Everyone in the ward was pregnant. There can only be one person responsible for all of them.
Very weird. Or at least there's got to be some weird stuff going on there of some sort.
Do people? You always hear about how women's cycle sync up. Mm-hmm. Is pregnancy contagious as well?
No, contagious. Not unless there's one, let's say, vector disseminating, so to speak, said pregnancies.
Okay, all right. You're not more likely to get pregnant if all your friends are pregnant. In other words.
Again, not unless you're having contact with this particularly prolific vector.
All right.
This is a
great time to have you on, Dr. Drew, because you know more about rehab than you know about probably anything else in your long medical history. And there are two celebrities in rehab in the news right now. You want to start with Batman or you want to start with the Spice Girl?
Let's do Batman because that's quick and easy.
Okay. All right. What's going on with Ben Affleck?
Well, I know he's an alcoholic, and he's been struggling for a long time. It's you never really hear about him working hard in recovery or being a leader in the community the way you do. You quietly hear, say, about Robert Downey Jr., who's always been just deeply engaged with, well, not always, since he finally got sober. And it's important to remember that on average, and this is on average for an alcoholic who begins contemplating getting sober, it's on average 8 years and multiple treatment episodes before they get 1 year of sobriety.
Is that right?
That's on average. Four treatments, 5 years, but 8 years from the time they start thinking about it. Why is that? It's just the nature of the condition. I think the way I experience it is people have to really convince themselves of the level of commitment that's needed. And they always start with sort of half measures, and then they convince themselves they can control it, and they have to try it their way. Alcoholics are very what we call self-willful, and they don't really necessarily capitulate or listen and take direction that well until way late when they've decided, okay, I get it. I got to stop. I got to go to meetings every day. And then they do it. And Ben
had been to rehab this year, in fact, already. And was out again. And then there was some sort of an intervention with his ex-wife, Jennifer Garner, right?
Yeah, and I would argue that celebrities, they have a more difficult time, not because they're celebrity, but because they tend to gravitate towards special care and special caretakers. And nothing is worse for an alcoholic.
What does that mean?
Special care. Places that gratify and seem like country clubs and give lots of special therapies. Look, they just need the basics like everybody else.
So they're not really doing the hard work.
Well, they also need to drop the veneer and the narcissism and everything else. Yeah. Just get to be a person with sobriety. Now, it is difficult for them to be, anonymous, and they have to find meetings that are suitable for them. But they're out there, particularly in this town. And you have to, find the support, do the, and continue in some kind of usually individual therapy. But again, the doctors, whoever the clinical professionals are, have to be completely uninterested in taking care of celebrities. It just has to be another person and not special.
You and your team were really good at that on Celebrity Rehab. I mean, there was no preference given based on how famous a person was.
I could not care less. And to me, it's almost comical when people get all. And it's very dangerous when doctors are sort of
starstruck,
excited about taking care of somebody special. It really, particularly, I will point you to Conrad Murray and Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
Where that ends up if you give special consideration and special care.
But isn't that sort of a normal thing to be excited and weirded out by the fact that you're in the same place with a celebrity?
You can't help for a beat, maybe, but you have to immediately get over that. I mean, if you keep seeing Ben Affleck and not just Ben, then you got to refer to somebody else.
Okay, so
you're not right for that case. If your narcissism is mobilized by it, then forget it. Get out of there.
We all wish Ben the very best. I'm glad he's back in rehab. I'm glad he's trying. Now, this Mel B. Scary Spice story is a little different because she talks about PTSD. She talks about going into rehab. Depending on which story you read, it sounds like there may be alcohol addiction and also possibly some sex addiction going on as a result of PTSD. Where's this coming from?
Well, almost all addictions, at least the addictions that are severe enough, if 100% if you need to see me, but generally speaking, if you have bad enough addiction and you need some sort of inpatient care, there's almost always childhood trauma. And one of the more common manifestations of childhood trauma is some sort of PTSD. And she's had, you know, and in your adult life, you'll sort of recreate those traumas or reenact them subconsciously, and that really reactivates the PTSD. So I suspect she's talking about something like that. The problem is, she's being treated in the UK, and they really do a not very good job at this. And they got to understand you have to treat the sex addiction, the alcoholism first. Then the PTSD is a long-term issue with the trauma, but you may not even begin with that for 6 months or so, because there's so much work to be done on the alcoholism and the sex addiction. So, I've had friends go and sort of observed some of their treatment there. I forget the name of the clinic in London. It was woeful. I mean, really not good.
Really?
They just don't understand the alcoholics
and,
that well.
And you think that's true of all of England, with some exceptions?
Well,
I'm sure.
One special. No, I don't. No, that's not true, because if you watch the Amy Winehouse documentary, you see the horrible care she got. Literally, she was allowed to live with her boyfriend and party in the treatment program. It was unbelievable.
Wow.
But there was one guy, if you watch the documentary, he goes, absolutely not. This is not going to work. Your boyfriend goes somewhere else. You go here. You're sober. Stop it. Stop the BS. Yeah, I don't care who you are. And I thought, oh, well, that guy knows what he's doing. But he certainly is not in the majority over there.
Mel B., the Spice Girl we're talking about, says, quote, I do suffer a lot from PTSD, end quote. Are you comfortable with people using that term in the way she's using it? In other words, I had a bad marriage, a bad relationship, and I'm still suffering from it. Or do you think that term should only be used for what we mostly think of, which is people coming back from combat?
I don't think she's saying it's from the marriage. And I think a lot of it might stem from childhood trauma that then got reinvigorated through this bad marriage, because she
Allie's
was making
it.
The same choices.
That's it. That's exactly right. We do traumatic reenactments. We have a weird thing in our brain that makes us attracted to people and circumstances that magically are just like the original traumatizers, and then we do it all over again.
Why is that, Dr. Drew? It was
a horrible time in your kid.
Freud
observed it. He called it repetition compulsion. People have all kinds of theories about why it happens. I think it's just some neurobiological adaptation. Probably has some positive benefits when it's working properly, but with childhood trauma, it goes off the rail, and we keep reenacting it. I think it has something to do with how we ritualize horrible traumas. It's why we do, you know, Passover every year. We repeat things over and over.
Mm-hmm.
But because it's a way of offloading horrible memories. But unfortunately, if you're somebody who's the actual individual victim of the trauma, you end up recreating the trauma.
Yes.
But then you got to treat the original trauma, and that takes a long time, and she needs to do that.
Yeah. Well, I guess the takeaway here would be seek help and try to seek the right help.
Don't get special care. Just get just basic care. People who are committed to the cause of recovery, not people that are fancy, people who have been doing it for a long time.
For people that are looking for that, how can they tell the difference between that and any other?
There's only very few places in Los Angeles that are really that way.
You Yelp it, Kevin. That's what you do. You Yelp it and look for the reviews.
All right, great.
Just the basics. But remember, treat the addiction first, then the underlying stuff later.
Fantastic.
That's the key thing.
Dr. Drew's got lots of great podcasts you can check out at drdrew.com. You can also listen to him live on the radio from noon till 3 on 790 KABC. And if you need a physician and maybe even Dr. Drew himself to show up at your home and treat you.
He doesn't. I've tried it so many times.
I saw a video the other day of Dr. Drew treating a patient in her home, by the way.
Did it.
And treating her patient is in quotation marks, by the way. that's the Heal app is where you get that.
Ending the pregnancy story is what you're saying here.
Right? Yeah. Exactly. Yeah,
well
great
done.
Chat, Doc. We'll talk to you next time.
Okay, guys.
Thank you, bye now. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:39.
Got one final look at what's happening here on this Thursday morning. Allie, take it away.
Well, what's happening is Muse has announced the title, track list, and release date of their 8th studio album.
Sweet.
Kids love it. It is called Simulation Theory. There will be 11 tracks, and it's going to be out on November 9th.
All right.
Exciting, right? We already have heard Thought Contagion, we've heard Dig Down, and a couple weeks ago, maybe 3 weeks ago, Something Human.
Mm-hmm.
But now, a fourth track. A fourth track, you guys. It's like they're just giving us stuff weekly, and I appreciate it.
I love it, too.
This is a new song called The Dark Side.
Boopity scoop.
Wow.
Scoop-dee-dee-whoop. Whoop de scoop de poop. Poop de scoop de scoop de whoop.
I mean, it's a different
Although
direction.
I see what you're doing with the dark side, but that is not it. Let's get the real song. And if you could see your face, I'm able to see. Break me up, break me up, let me see.
All right.
That's very musy.
Here's the thing, though. I feel like they're doing like an 80s vibe more than usual, and I am here for it. Mm-hmm. Right?
Sure, I'm in.
And all of their videos have kind of been like weird. I was going to say 80s inspired, but the last one wasn't really at all.
Yeah,
it was
true.
Whatever. But the artwork for the album, it's amazing, and it's the same guy that did the poster art for Stranger Things, and it's got a Stranger Things feel. The cover of this album, again, which is called Simulation Theory, 11 tracks due out on November 9th. I am pleased, I am excited, and I accept it.
Do you think we'll get all 11 before that date?
I feel like that's what they're doing, and I appreciate that about them.
Please read further, Allie, about the deluxe and expanded versions of the album and how many more Muse songs are going to be coming our way in addition to those 11.
Simulation Theory will be released in three formats. Standard, which is 11 tracks. Deluxe, 16 tracks. And Super Deluxe, 21 tracks.
How about right. that?
They've just got too much music.
Yeah, they do.
Love
right?
It.
I hope Poopity Scoop is on it.
Right? I don't think that was Kanye. All right. And weird news coming out from Paramount Pictures. They have pushed back the sequel to Top Gun. It was supposed to come out July of next year. It has been pushed to June 2020. And they're saying it's because of extensive visual effects work and complicated flight scenes. That's with an L. That'd be weird if it was just all of a sudden on the
fight
ground.
Scenes.
They're just fighting each other. Right? Playing volleyball? I'm in. Flight scenes. That's said to be at the heart of the production extension.
But it was almost a year?
That's a July 2019 pushed to June 2020.
Wow.
That's a lot of extensive visual work and flight simulation.
Yeah, that's odd.
It's a lot. It's a lot. And I don't like it, but I accept it because I can't wait for that movie. This is interesting. Ed Sheeran is now the only solo artist ever to have three songs that have each spent at least 1 year on the Billboard Hot 100.
Wow.
That's amazing, right? He reaches that milestone thanks to Perfect, which just notched its 52nd week on the chart. He also had Shape of You and Thinking Out Loud that each spent a year up there as well. That's not bad, right?
Yeah, that's pretty awesome.
That's pretty awesome. And I love this story just because of the opening line. The Eagles recently passed Michael Jackson's Thriller on the list of best-selling U.S. albums ever, but the king of pop will get the last laugh. How will he get the last laugh? Well, they're bringing Thriller back to IMAX 3D for 1 week. Right? Suck it, Eagles.
Michael Jackson was tight.
Right. Okay. This is just such a weird framing of the story, but IMAX announced yesterday, which, again, would have been Jackson's 60th birthday, that they have partnered with his estate, they have digitally remastered the Thriller short film, and they're going to release it in IMAX 3D for the first time ever. The showings will run for 1 week, starting September 21st, and you will only see it ahead of screenings of Eli Roth's The House with a Clock in Its Walls.
I'm going to say that most of the Eagles are still alive, mm-hmm. and he is not. So I think they get the last laugh.
That's why it's the weirdest sentence ever.
And it's strange.
It is not a sick burn to say that a Thriller video is going to be out for a week on IMAX.
Right. Yeah, that's weird. In front of certain movies. That's right. Odd.
In front of just one movie.
Right, just one. Yeah.
Just it's a weird way to start that story, but it kind of brought me joy.
Michael Jackson.
Did you guys see This Is It? Did you watch that?
I did.
Because there was a lot of new stuff for Thriller mm-hmm. that they were going to do.
Yeah.
A lot of new visuals, a lot of film stuff. It was really good.
Yeah.
That's all. That's all I got.
This is really it.
Mm-hmm.
KFC has a pretty interesting contest going. They want to give a pair of expecting parents $11,000 towards their child's education fund. All you have to do is name your baby Harland. The contest is in honor of what would have been Harlan Sanders' 128th birthday on September 9th.
That's not a thing.
That's not a thing. Not a thing. But to enter the contest, you have to visit their website and submit the name, date, time of your child's birth, a valid birth certificate, hospital records, and then they will vet all of those properly. Don't think you could just send something all willy-nilly and win this contest. You can't. And then they're going to get an $11,000 donation as well as an additional almost $4,000 to offset the taxes. So if you were going to name your kid Harlan anyway... And it's in that window.
Sure seems like a pretty small group.
So, send it in.
They don't really care if anyone names a kid Harlan. They just are getting $11,000 worth of free advertising by putting this press release out and having us talk about it.
Yes.
What a downer.
I mean, it was for his 128th birthday.
Well, that's the big one. That is the big
yeah,
one.
Yeah, you definitely celebrate that more than any.
Who's that comedian who's a Harlan?
Harlan Williams?
Yeah, that's the only other Harlan there is, right? Yeah. Just those two, right?
There's got to be.
I mean, I'm sure
Harlan.
There are others, but.
There's no other famous Harlan?
Not that I've heard of. It's
oh, Globetrotters.
The Harlan Globetrotters. That's right. I forgot
right?
about them.
Thank you.
Good pull.
Thank you.
Good God. What's happening on the show today?
Not sure.
I don't even know what's happening, but I like it. Did you know that Neil Young and Daryl Hannah were dating?
I did not, and no. I was shocked by this news yesterday. If it's true, this is coming out of nowhere.
First of all, apparently they've been dating for 4 years, and they just got married. And the only reason we know they got married is because guitarist Mark Miller wrote on Facebook, "Congratulations to Daryl Hannah and Neil Young on their wedding today. May they have a long and happy relationship."
They're not going to have a long and happy relationship.
Might be happy, but not long.
Not going to be long. Oh, have you seen Neil Young lately?
What is wrong with you?
But I thought it has been less than 4 years since he broke up with his, you know, wife of 40 years. I was stunned to find out that he'd been dating Daryl Hannah that long. Or maybe that's why his wife broke up.
I was going to say, maybe the math doesn't need to add up according to your rules.
That is, I mean, look, we don't know anything about them as people. Maybe they're a perfect match. Hard to see Daryl Hannah and Neil Young together.
That's what I'm saying.
I don't
strange.
Get it.
Yeah.
She dated Jackson Brown for a number of years at one point, but that was a long time ago.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, good info.
Well, I'm just saying maybe she likes musicians.
Right.
That was Beans.
Fun fact.
Enrique, hello.
Some birthdays for you. Ryan Ross from Panic at the Disco, Andy Roddick, Michael Chiklis, Lewis Black, and Cameron Diaz. Happy birthday, and that's what's happening.
Thanks, Sally. On your drive tomorrow morning at All New Kevin and Bean Show, we're doing cover songs.
Yeah.
All day.
I like it.
Cover.
Well, not all day. Just during Kevin and Bean.
All during our show.
Sorry, Kevin.
I mean, I feel like I was selling our show.
You made perfect sense.
Okay.
Also, all Kevin knows is it involves wing. Mm-hmm. And it involves the Armenian comedian. That's
right?
All he knows.
And that's all I care about. Also, cheers with mugs tomorrow. Brand new internet roundup. And keep it 100.